Jesus said the night before he died, just for the sake of the record, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. The reason he could say that was because 3 years earlier in John 4, maybe 2 years earlier, but sometime earlier in verse 34, he said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So it wasn't an accident. He didn't just sort of stumble across the finish line of life accidentally. When you all left Cal Poly to come here to Colorado Springs, you probably had some idea of where you were going, what route you were going to take. If you didn't, whoever was driving did. You know, and you had some intermediate goals, perhaps, on the way, some towns that you were looking for, and so on. And you charted out a particular route, and you actually arrived here. Well, the Lord Jesus did the same thing. He charted out a course so that when the time came, he could say, I finished. I have consummated. I've completed it. Now, the next day on the cross, in John 19, verse 30, he cries out, it is finished. Now, in John 19, he's referring to redemption. He has shed his blood. He is in the actual act of giving his life as a ransom for you and me. But in John 17, the night before, he hasn't died yet. He hasn't given his life. He's not referring to redemption. And if you study John 17 carefully, you'll see that over 40 times in that passage of Scripture, he refers to 12 men, to the disciples. So, in effect, Jesus Christ had two great works. The great work of redemption, of being the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, who would die in our place. The other great work was to recruit and train a band of men who would carry the message to the four corners of the earth. And it had to be two great works. If he had only died to pay for our penalty, but hadn't prepared a team of men to carry the message, in effect, he would have died in vain. No one would have ever heard. He would have died, the penalty would have been paid, and you and I would have lived and died and gone to hell. So there had to be two great works, and he completed them both. Now, there isn't a thing you and I can do to add to the work of Christ on the cross. That was done once for all. Now, the only thing we can do is accept it, believe it, commit our lives to it. But with regard to the other great work of Christ, you and I can be laborers together with God. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 3 in just a moment. The question is, what are you going to say to God the night before you die? Now, one of these days, we're all going, some of us sooner than others. But it's not a question of when. It's only a question of when. So one of these days, you are going to pass from this life to eternity. And for some of us, it'll be just, you know, right out of the blue. We won't have time to think or pray or anything. It'll just be, you know, a car accident or a ski off a cliff or just... you know, whatever, you know. There won't be a whole lot of praying, you know. It's kind of like the Texas Aggie that bailed out of the airplane. He couldn't get the parachute to open, and he was falling. And just then, another Texas Aggie was going up through the air, and they passed. The first Aggie says, hey, do you know anything about parachutes? And the second one said, no, do you know anything about kerosene stoves? So... Oh, sigh. But we need to think about it. We really do. We need to plan so that if you have some time to think, some time to pray, if you have some advance warning, if the doctor says, well, you're terminal, you have 3 months to live or 6 months, then you have time to think and pray and review your life. What are you going to say to God? That's the question that we want to answer this morning. The Apostle Paul had the same experience in 2 Timothy 4, which perhaps is the last letter that he wrote that we have. In verse 7, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Well, years earlier in Acts chapter 20, in verse 24, he was talking to the elders of the Ephesian church. And he said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. He said, I plan to finish. And he got down to the end of his life, and just before he was martyred, he wrote a letter to Timothy and said, I finished. So for Paul, it was not an accident. It wasn't just a casual happenstance that he crossed the finish line. He set his mind earlier in life to cross the finish line. So when he crossed it, he could say, I finished my course. So it's true of Jesus. It was true of Paul. And the Lord Jesus said to us in John chapter 20, as the Father sent me, so send I you. We have been sent in the same manner to do the same thing. Now let's take a look very briefly at Corinthians chapter 3. By the way, is there any question there? Let's stop and wrap. Do you understand the basic premise, where I'm coming from? Have I communicated clearly? Okay, Corinthians 3 shows us what options we're working with. He says in verse 9 that we're laborers together with God. And in the context, the first 8 verses, he talks about nurturing people and building people up, discipling them. He says in verse 10, God has given me grace as a wise master builder to lay the foundation. And other people are building on this foundation. And every person, every man or woman, should take heed or be cautious in how he builds. And he says in verse 11, there's only one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Now, if any person, any man or woman, builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hair, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's work, of what sort it is. If a man's work abides, if it comes through the fire, he will be rewarded. If any man's work is burned, he will suffer loss. He himself shall be saved. Now, you and I have a choice. In our own lives, we pick the building materials. You can build in your life, first of all, gold, silver, and precious stones. Materials that endure. Materials of value. Or you can build in your own life wood, hay, and stubble. Now the foundation, in any case, is Jesus Christ. You can build on Christ, gold, silver, and precious stone, or you can build on Christ, wood, hay, and stubble. Now let me ask you a question. What do you think that means? When you read in Corinthians 3, and I'm sure you've all read it many times, gold, silver, and precious stones, what comes to your mind? Now, this is on top of Christ. Christ is the foundation in your life. You know Christ. Well, what comes to your mind when you read those words? Okay, what we do. Okay, what else comes to your mind?
Things that are really precious to God.
Okay, things that are precious to God. Well, what are some of those things, Armando?
People.
Okay, people. Okay, now that's reaching out. First, I'm just talking about what... Are you building gold, silver, and precious stone in your own life, first of all? What are we talking about? Okay, faith, hope, love, qualities of godliness. Okay, where do we get those things? From the Holy Spirit. Where else? Pardon? Through the Scriptures, exactly. Through what? We will have a reward, that's true. Yeah. Now, is the fire optional? No. That's one of the required courses in the curriculum. Everybody goes through the fire. You and I go through the fire, and the people we touch go through the fire. What comes to your mind when you think of wood, hay, and stubble? Okay, things that burn up. The fire hits it, and it turns to ash. Now, what would some of those things be?
Man's thinking.
Good. Exactly. Man's thinking, man's philosophy, man's idea, humanism. The exaltation of man. The worship of man. That idea, absolutely. Now, when that hits the fire, what happens to it? Ashes. Now, this applies in my life and yours. It also has application in the lives of others. What are you and I building in the lives of other people? What are we communicating? Now, there are only three things that you can do as a disciple maker. Teach, pray, and model. That's the alpha and the omega of communication. Jesus Christ taught, he prayed, and he modeled. Now, that is exciting to me. It's challenging because it encompasses the totality of human experience. But it's realistic. I can do three things. If you say, well, Skip, you go into all the world and make disciples. You say what Jesus said the night before you die. That I left behind a small group of men, 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever the number might be. I can do that. That's actually attainable. It's not kind of way out there. I can get a handle on that. I can do that with one person. I can teach. I can pray. And I can model. And that is very, very encouraging to me. That when Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples, he wasn't giving us some responsibility that was so totally impossible to achieve that we just kind of read it and slump over in the chair and collapse. You know, punt, flunk now, avoid the rush. Kind of an attitude toward the Christian life, toward the ministry. You can actually do that. Most of you, in fact, are doing it to some degree. We just want to talk about doing it more, doing it better. So question number one is, what are you going to say to God the night before you die? Question number two is what building materials are you choosing in your own life and in the lives of other people? Because the building materials will be tested. My personal feeling here is that this is not some future fire, some future event. Peter talks about the fiery trials which are to try you. And my own understanding of the scriptures and my own experience is that the fiery trials are here and now. And we simply build for a little while, and then the fire comes. And about a year ago, I was in San Bernardino, and we drove through the neighborhood where some of those houses had been built high in the foothills, and they were just torched. I mean, all there was a concrete slab and a chimney and some charred automobiles. And that's all there was. I mean, just when that wind came down out of the mountains in San Bernardino, and that fire, it just absolutely was a torch, and all that was left was the foundation. Beautiful illustration of 1 Corinthians 3. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Christ will not burn. Christ will always be there. Christ will pass through the fire. And that's all there was in San Bernardino, just a foundation, a concrete slab. But everything else was wood. And it was gone, vanished, ashes. It's a beautiful picture, not a beautiful picture, but an accurate picture of many Christian ministries. So what are the building materials? Are you disciplined, intake of the Word, Bible study, Scripture memory, quiet time, all the basics? Navigators have a conference, they always get out the drum, beat the drum. Bible study, Scripture memory, quiet time. Why? Because the fire is coming. There is going to be a fire. What would some of those fires be in your mind? The day shall declare it, it shall be revealed by fire. Verse 13. What do you think of when you think of fire, testing? Depression? Oh, absolutely. Discouragement, depression. What else comes to your mind?
Rejection.
A feeling of being rejected?
Rejection.
Sure, yeah. People who criticize, misunderstand, criticize you or criticize people that you're trying to help.
Some sort of crisis in your life. Someone who loved dies.
Okay, a crisis, death, or serious illness.
Persecution.
Right. Financial pressures, loss of job, or just getting a bad deal in some course. That never happens to you. You don't ever get a bad deal in a course. But every now and then, people do. And these things are problems. Illness, death, rejection, criticism. Depression, discouragement, it's going to come. To you, it's going to come to the people you're helping. Count on it. In fact, when the people that you're helping go through a fire, don't panic. Don't play Junior Holy Spirit. Don't rush in there and try to stamp out the brush fire. Because you're just going to trample them to death. You teach, you pray, and you model, and let them go through the fire. That doesn't mean you're unconcerned, you're loving, you're compassionate, you're available, but let them go through the fire. Because if you get in there and mess around, then the Holy Spirit is going to have to do it all over again sometime when you're not around to mess it up. What are you going to say to God the night before you die? What are the building materials? Now let me share with you the curriculum. What are you going to do in the life of another person? And by the way, all of this has nothing to do primarily with whether you're called to be full-time in the ministry. This is a completely other subject. This has to do with whether God has called you to be a navigator or God has called you to be a physician or a school teacher or an engineer or a homemaker or whatever God has called you to do. It has nothing to do with being, quote, full-time in the ministry. It has everything to do with what you're going to say to God the night before you die. And everybody dies, preachers and doctors. We all have the same appointment. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will all give an account. So that's, do you understand that much? Hopefully. Nothing to do with, you know, whether you're going to be a missionary. Okay, the curriculum is in 2 Timothy, chapter 3. See how we're doing on time. Oh, we're in good shape. This has to do with gold, silver, and precious stones. This is the building material. Curriculum, 2 Timothy 3:10. Doctrine, I think the American Standard says teaching. You fully know my doctrine. It says in my version here, good news for 17th century man. You may have the American Standard. You have fully followed my teaching. Is that what it says? Okay. Now think about that for a minute. This is Paul and Timothy. This is not Paul and a church. This is one man on another man. Or this is Paula and Timothette, if you will. This is one-on-one. A relationship of Paul with Timothy. And he said, you have fully followed my teaching. You fully know my doctrine. Now think about that. Paul wrote Romans, Corinthians, all the other letters, and he could say to Timothy, you fully know my doctrine. You believe in your heart, in principle, everything I believe. Now, it's hard to say that to a large group. Paul never said it, to my knowledge, to a church. But he said it to a man, to a spiritual son, to one person. And here again is the beauty of the Scriptures. You can say that. If you spend enough time in the Scriptures with another person, you can say that to him or her. If you work at it. Is there somebody that you meet with on a regular basis? One-on-one, consistently teaching the Word of God. Now you say, well, I don't have a degree from seminary or Bible school or, you know. Well, Paul didn't either. Now, he was a learned theologian. So maybe he did have a seminary degree, the equivalent. But is there some Christian on campus at Cal Poly who probably knows less of the Word of God than you? That's the person you're looking for, some man or some woman. Now, don't hide in a tree and drop out of the tree on him, you know. You know, you may want to go bowling or fishing or just, you know. Develop a friendship first and draw him or her in close over a period of time through prayer. But there must be somebody on campus that knows less of the Word of God than you do. Now, are you spending time with him or her? That's the question. Just one. Not talking about leading a group or becoming a great platform speaker. Just one person that you could spend an hour or two in the Scriptures every week for the next few years. Probably. It's costly. A lot of hard work. But are you going to be able to say what Paul said? You believe everything I believe. As far as all the big issues are concerned. Doctrine, truth, the scriptures, the word of God. You fully followed my teaching. You have to give yourself to a man or a woman. How did Paul teach the doctrine of the sovereignty of God? Yeah, he modeled it. Yeah. He was in dungeon one night with a bleeding back, singing hymns, you know, and God sent a selective earthquake. You know, the jailhouse collapsed. The jailer's house didn't collapse. God still needed the jailer's house. It was only the prison that collapsed. You know, and the chains. How did Paul communicate the doctrine of the love of God? He modeled it. And the prisoner, the jailer's about to commit suicide. You know, what would you say to a man who had just earlier the same day beaten you bloody and he's about to commit suicide now? You know, let me hold your hat. You know, do thyself no harm. No bitterness. No vengeance. You're going to get yours now. You know. That's how he modeled the love of God. And the man was converted in his whole house. Because he could see the reality of the gospel in Paul's life. Paul goes on to say in the curriculum here, you fully know my manner of life, lifestyle. What do you think it takes to be able to say to another person, you fully know my manner of life?
You've lived with me.
Right. Tremendous vulnerability, openness, lots of time together. That's one reason we have NAV homes, so that guys and gals can live in our home and see us. And we have feet of clay, our weaknesses as well as our strengths. You can fake it for an hour a week, you know, sit there in Bible study, the big smile, you know. Everything's great, you know. But it's how do you react at 10:30 at night when you get that phone call? It totally obliterates you emotionally. When people have to watch. But we give people the right hand of fellowship at the end of a stiff elbow, don't we, on Sunday morning. You know, hi, how are you? I'm fine. You know, the Sunday morning billiard ball fellowship. We bounce off of one another at one point. We don't let people get into where we live. Vulnerability, availability. And yet, Buzzy and I had the NAV home in Pasadena for 3.5 years. And virtually all of the men and women who lived with us during those years are still walking with Christ today. Serving the Lord. Walt Henriksen was with the NAVs for many years, missionary. Dave Dawson, Joanne was with Dave in Singapore for many years. Dave and Mary. Mary lived in our home too. And others. Carl Vargo, who just finished, how many years was Carl up there in the fog in Northern California? Yeah, 5, 6, 7 years. Yeah, back on the East Coast now. Carl lived in our home for a couple of years. Carl been a student at Pepperdine. So on. And 20 years later, still walking with God. Because there was scripture, and there was a lifestyle. And your lifestyle is as much your message as your doctrine. Not more nor less. See, we say doctrine here and lifestyle here. Paul says, you fully know my doctrine, you fully know my manner of life. But it's costly. All it'll cost is your life. To be open, vulnerable. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have things that are personal and private, and you know, you don't stand up in public and just dump the whole thing, all of your heart and mind and soul. No, there may be some things that are very personal and very private, but basically, you're approachable. You're available. The men came to Jesus and said, Master, where dwellest thou? What did he say? Come.